I don't remember what I said, but I thought I'd made you mad.
Oh my God, are you serious?
I thought you were pouting.
I'm not that sensitive.
This is when Steven starts talking and he throws it to one of us. Just let me put this up. It's crickets.
Nice. Now, Carrie, I think you're the fourth most sensitive person in this round table.
Oh, come on, put me in the middle.
Who am I going to put you ahead of?
I used to be a sensi, and then...
Robin's the most sensitive, then Steven, and then Bob and I.
I think that's a perfect introduction to our show today. And you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan, and this is our Fall Music Preview 2009.
There is no need to say another word. We'll be golden and eternal, just like that. Something good will come. These roads don't move. You're the one that moves.
You're listening to songs based on the writings of author, painter, and poet Jack Kerouac. The singer is Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie, and he's joined by Sunvolt's Jay Farrar on a collaboration that takes Kerouac's 1962 novel Big Sur and sets it to song. The CD will be released at the same time as a documentary featuring Sam Shepard, Patti Smith, and Tom Waits. The project is called One Fast Move or I'm Gone, Kerouac's Big Sur. It comes out on October 20th. This is just one of a dozen new albums on this show, full of yet-to-be-released music. You'll be able to hear full versions of all the songs we play at npr.org/allsongs. I'll introduce our panel of sensitive souls in a minute, and we'll start off with new music by The Flaming Lips, a promo of which came to Robin Hilton, and it was fairly well copy-protected. So I'm holding in my hand the brand new record by The Flaming Lips, which, of course, you can't play in a computer. Should I say that?
Yeah, actually, and that's just...
Which is why I've not heard the record. P.S.
Well,
publicist?
They sent the record in, and I had to actually dig around for a CD player to actually listen to it, because I play every... I don't have a stereo. My computer is my stereo.
Where the battery's leaking in the CD player?
Yeah.
It's like trying to find something that'll play piano roles.
Yeah, it's basically... It feels like that.
So this is our fall music preview. Sitting in the room here is producer Robin Hilton for All Songs Considered, and Stephen Thompson, the editor and curator of Song of the Day, Carrie Brownstein, writer, blogger for Monitor Mix, and I'm Bob Boylan here. And we're going to do fall music preview, music that's coming out between, well, when the fall begins, which is what, the 21st of September, through just when winter begins. And one of the ones I think all of us have been looking forward to is this one record that only a few of us have heard. It's called Embryonic. Robin Hilton.
This is such a great record. The Flaming Lips, of course, they've been around a long time, 25 years, and this is their 12th studio record. I'm always amazed at how much they always find ways to be inspired and make really incredible music. Their last few albums were very epic, cosmic rock records. And this one, Embryonic, is a bit more gritty. It's very moody and trippy. To put the songs together, they just recorded a bunch of freeform jams at one of the members' house. Then they picked the songs out of those jams. They wanted the album to feel a lot looser and less predictable. I think they came up with that.
What do you want to hear from it?
Let's listen to Cut 5. It's called See the Leaves. That sounds so cool. That is just really, I love that. And I mean, seriously, does this sound like a band, something from a band that's been around 25 years and it's from Oklahoma? I mean, this just does not sound anything like what you would expect it to sound like.
How much time have you spent with this, with the whole record?
I've only heard the whole record one time through, and this is very similar to how the record, whole record sounds.
Okay, because I guess for me, the last couple of Flaming Lips records, I kind of started to tune out a little bit. Mm-hmm. They had a couple that Soft Bulletin and Yoshimi, Battles of Pink Robots, that were like my favorite albums of those years, in part because they were so warm and so sweet on top of these sort of sonic adventures. And I'm just wondering if
the record's very moody. It's pretty gloomy in parts. If you would call that gloomy, I mean, it's just very gritty, a lot darker than the last couple records, I think.
It sounds beautiful. I'm just...
I really hope that Wayne is going to get out of the bubble in the live show with this album, because he comes out in this big bubble.
Right.
And I feel like these songs hopefully are bursting that bubble and he'll just explore something new live. Because I like how it just sounds like a real assault.
And it comes out on October 13th. We're going to have the whole thing online for everyone to listen to on October 6th.
That's great. So a whole week.
Yes.
And people can put comments on the site. Yes. And I'd love to hear what people think of this record. Carrie, who is Y?
Why? It's
like, what?
I'm not actually parsing that question, Bob.
Carrie will help us explain who is Y.
Y is a three-piece from Cincinnati, Ohio that I believe began with one member who then recruited...
Morphed into three people, in fact.
Yes. He morphed into three people, and then for this latest album, which is called Eskimo Snow, which actually comes out very soon on the 22nd of September. It's Y, W-H-Y, ? All caps. For this album, there's actually two extra people in the band, so they're one of those one person... expands to three people, expands to five people, and they'll be a 10-piece on their next album. So I'm trying to enjoy them in this quintet that they are now. All my picks are kind of about discoveries. I just transplanted myself to the East Coast. I was trying to pick music that I hadn't really heard before. So why? Why?
Which Why would you like to play?
This song by Why is called This Blackest Purse.
Stage I claim to be, I've only cradled death in my own ending flesh from far off and abstracted lit candle wick flickering. And when a thing starts finishing around me, I faint or fake a mustache and accent or flee. In fear my expired license be pulled by sheer proximity. Fact, the poser and the bowler get shot first. Thinks he's a shit cause he can spit and curse. Acting brash and flash in a pistol that squirts. Scowling
fun.
Gosh, did I just enter my freshman year of college?
I really like that.
That's kind of what it sounds like to me. I mean, in a good way. Uh-huh. I must be charting new territory here.
You need nostalgia as you find a new home, and it's grounding for you. Yeah.
Well, I really just wanted something that Steven and Robin would like.
Yeah, not so much.
Yeah, no, Carrie. No, I love the way it's sort of odd and pretty at the same time.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I'm not sure with a title like This Blackest Purse, I think I was expecting something that had a little more of an edge, but I really like that a lot.
And I've read stuff about this band as hip-hop as well, and certainly
I think 'cause it's on
none of that in this. This is the least of the hip-hop stuff. I have a couple of older cuts from them. And
yeah, it's getting more folk-based, this album at least.
Yeah, poppy too. Mm-hmm. Good. Stephen Thompson, you've got That Was Why, and you have The Swell Season, which is...
For those who haven't seen the movie Once, the film, it's a film starring Glenn Hansard from the band The Frames and a Czech singer named Markéta Erglová. And they've now sort of, they put out a record a few years ago as Glenn Hansard and Markéta Erglová. And then they put out a record as the soundtrack to the movie Once. And now they are The Swell Season. And it's kind of basically The Frames with Markéta Erglová singing. And they've got this new record coming out October 27th called Strict Joy. For those who want to hear half of the songs from that record performed live, go to nprmusic.org and look for the Swell Season Tiny Desk Concert, which is absolutely fantastic. This particular song that we're going to play...
We couldn't keep them quiet that day. Yeah, I mean, they came in to do three songs and yeah, Glenn would keep saying...
Can I play two more songs? And everybody's like, no, no, leave. So it's really... I mean, The Frames is one of my favorite bands, and I love the two of them together. And
so what is this like as a follow-up record to for you from the first record? How does it differ, if you nutshell?
It's a little bit more spare than I would have expected. You know, I would have probably expected like just a little bit more strings and a little bit more
money, a little bit more majesty.
Yeah. It's kind of an intimate, quiet record. But I picked kind of a faster, a very very Van Morrison-esque.
I was going to say that's what clicked for me when I first heard it. I thought, oh, it's like a good Van Morrison record at its start. Anyway, it's a starting point.
Yeah, and this particular song is very much like that. This is called Feeling the Pull.
Back to head out on the road to take away what I know is mine. And I'm running down and past the yellow house with Joe into the breeze when no one seems to care. And I'm feeling the pull dragging me off again. And I'm feeling so small against the sky.
I love the way their songwriting manages to make the listener... They write these very big, kind of swollen songs, but he sort of understands what it's like to sort of feel bigger than you are, but at the same time feel smaller than you are.
Oh my God.
And that particular song, I think.
Are you having trouble with the size things here, Carrie?
No,
just wondering if the.
I mean,
just,
as a
the swollen
I mean, as a,
thing.
That's
no,
just,
no.
That song
no,
was a medium, and if that is a medium song.
No, you know. The
no, I just felt like Stephen was just talking about himself, and it just made me happy.
It's always better when I talk about my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
As songwriters get away with so much more than I would ever grant any other singer-songwriter couple.
Well, I think that is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but. You know, they manage to be sentimental without being mawkish or saying, you know, they pull it off.
I believe
off
Glenn.
With grace.
Anytime he
yeah.
sings something, I believe him.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, I agree with you, Robin. I feel like there's such a narrow berth for this kind of music
yeah.
that it's, because otherwise it would be almost intolerable.
Yeah.
and I like it, and it does evoke like this very warm feeling, and it is uplifting and without being sort of saccharine. It kind of reminds me of the Waterboys. I feel like they had that same essence where they were able to kind of soar in their songs without making you want to, you know, hit your head against the wall.
I think of like when Glenn accepted the Oscar and he gave a speech saying, make art!
Yeah.
And I thought, any other songwriter standing up there, I'd roll my eyes and turn the channel or something. But he manages to be earnest in a way that...
There's something incredibly sincere about that guy. But I do think... I like the fact that my first pick has been dubbed Almost Intolerable. I know that's not what you were actually
speaking of. Almost Intolerable, Bob. What did you bring?
and it is in some ways. When I read this project, I thought it was an Onion article. Second, I thought it was this is just awful. I'm so sorry about this. And this is what I'm talking about is the Kinks Choral Collection, and they didn't do the KKK. Like the Kinks Chronicle is always spelled Kinks, and Chronicle is spelled with K.
Wise of them.
And maybe it was wise of them, but this is a 65-piece choral ensemble, and Ray Davis of the Kinks doing Kinks hits. They do, you know, You Really Got Me in Victoria and Celluloid Heroes, one of my favorite songs of all time. They do a suite of songs from Village Green Preservation Society.
Waterloo Sunset, don't they?
And they do Days, which is what I listened to this morning and almost burst into tears. Well, I did cry. No, I did actually cry. I didn't, but my tears didn't burst. They just streamed. And it's such a gorgeous, gorgeous song. And then they do Waterloo Sunset, which is just one of my very favorite songs of all time. Can I play a little bit of this and we'll come back and talk about this song, Waterloo Sunset?
Oh, God, please play it. Yeah.
I cried this morning, too, but I wasn't really doing anything.
I wasn't listening to music. I was eating cereal.
Yeah. What are we hearing, Bob?
Let's listen to Waterloo Sunset with a 65-piece...
You gave me Days.
That'd be a problem.
I thought you decided...
We did, and Stephen...
And then I talked you out of it.
I was going to play Days, because this morning I listened to it, and I thought, all these people that have come and gone from my life, it's one of the most beautiful songs, lyrically.
I think we should play Days.
But, yeah, if it's the song that,
But then Stephen said, you know what, everybody loves Waterloo Sunset, and I think... In some ways, I think getting the experience of hearing a song you're familiar with, more people will be familiar with Waterloo Sunset, and hearing it in the context of a 65-piece choral ensemble is the way to go. So give me the plug, Robin, and I'm going to play it for us.
I've never been a big Waterloo Sunset fan myself.
What?
That is nuts!
Not really.
He
and Bob and I were talking about it earlier.
He doesn't think it's a great melody.
I don't really.
I've never been a fan of Warm Breezes. I don't like Warm Breezes.
And Kittens.
And also Love.
Yeah, something about that melody is really grating.
Companionship.
Yeah, okay. Something. Let's play this really grating melody by Ray Davis.
Jesus, guys.
I don't even know which side I'm on anymore.
This is the most bickering episode we've ever taped.
We could do better.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, it is.
All right, see if this chorus does it for you, folks. I just want everybody to know that while the song was playing, I had to go and feel Robin just to see if he had blood circulating in his body.
I'm sure I'd feel differently if I weren't so heavily medicated, but the song's never really done much for me.
And you know still, what's never done much for me? The unconditional love of my children. How can you not think that?
Who knows? I've never.
You know, I can get chills sometimes when I listen to a song for the first time and just go, wow, this really does it to me. And this is the third time I've heard this, and this is the third time I've gotten chills.
Do you feel like the chorus adds to it or detracts from it?
You know what? There's something that happens when I listen to music where if I'm familiar with the music, I hear it even if I don't hear it. So if Ray sang that solo, I would hear all the other Kinks sing in the harmony. Well, I heard the Kinks sing in the harmony, and I heard the chorus. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it added. It didn't do that for every song. Some of the, like the 64, 65 Kinks stuff, You Really Got Me, the All Day and All the Night, didn't work so well.
That's going to slow it down.
Didn't work so well. But the stuff where the Kinks had these really sort of nice harmonies, you know, they really strained at doing them, but they worked. I thought it was gorgeous. I thought it was really powerful.
Ray Davies didn't retrack anything for this. They've sort of mashed up old.
No. This is him.
Oh, this is old.
This is totally all new stuff. They performed it live. Bad idea on paper, you know.
Well executed.
Well,
bad idea.
Yeah, totally. I love this. So this is the Kinks Choral Collection. It comes out on November the 10th.
I am happy to share something that did do something for me, though.
Was it lunch? I saw. I mean,
yeah,
I
it was a little
was a Subway sandwich.
Little what's That's perfect. We've got to start getting underwriting. You know, I was drinking an ice cold Coca-Cola at my desk when I heard this next song.
This song is as refreshing to me as an ice cold snap.
That French's mustard was really good. What do you have that's spicy, Robin?
Spicy? I have something that's very sweet. It's from Town Wynn with the Get Down, Stay
Down. It's kind of like Domino Sugar Sweet.
It's just the most beautiful sweet there is.
So Town Wynn is?
Town Wynn with the Get Down, Stay Down. And I think she's recording now. It's just Tao with the Get Down, Stay Down. And anyone who's followed our show knows that we all fell in love with her when she came and did a Tiny Desk concert here about a year and a half ago or so. And just her music is just so uplifting and so playful and innocent.
Her calves are really good, too.
I mean, I don't think we can say that.
Well, she told, don't you remember? She told the story. She lives in the
city. No,
she doesn't. Was it just me?
Did she just tell this to me? This is occurring entirely in your fantasy.
She had gone to see her great, she lived in this area. She grew up here. She went and saw her grandmother, and her grandmother squeezed her calves. And that was how grandmother knew she was doing okay.
Wow.
I often...
Robin likes Tao. Let's play this.
I usually cannot listen to any artist's music and know whether or not I'm going to like it until I've laid my hands on their calves.
However,
in this case, I just heard the music and it's wonderful. This is a follow-up to her album she had out just last year called We Brave Bee Stings and All. And the album is called No Better, Learn Faster. And...
Tucker Martin produced this, and
yes,
and Tucker is the guy who's produced Laura Veers and Laura Gibson and the Decemberists. And I had a conversation with him the other day. He's going to play DJ on our show. I'm just saying, that's all.
And this song from the album is called "Cool Yourself." I listen to a lot of gloomy music, and this is such. I really need a dose of this from time to time. This just really makes me feel good.
Yeah, yeah, I like this a lot.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Has the same sort of bounce to her songs as the last album did, too. I think this is really great. I've only gotten through the album a couple times, but really loved it.
Comes out the middle of October, October 13th, yeah?
Yeah.
Great. Is she your current crush, Robin?
Tao?
It's so much fun.
I know that you and I could be best friends.
I don't know, it's somehow less creepy when you're fawning over, like, Jason Lytle.
No, you know, but I will say, I was thinking of this. She lives in San Francisco now, but she's from the D.C. area, and I was thinking of another band that we're going to get to a little bit later called Lulu, which is also from the D.C. area, and I was thinking, you know, I really feel like something's been happening here in this area lately.
Yeah, people
with music.
Leave.
You know, well, people do leave, but, you know, there hasn't been a super vibrant music scene here in a number of years, but I've been feeling like with her and with Lulu and some of the other acts coming out now that something's brewing.
Carrie Brownstein, what else do you have for us?
Lightning Bolt, who, this is going to be really opposite from what we just heard.
This is not lilting.
They haven't had an album out for a few years, so this is pretty exciting. I think that what I'm most looking forward to is just the fact that since they have a new album out, it means they'll tour. And
who are they? I don't know.
Lightning Bolt are a two-piece, Brian and Brian, from Providence, Rhode Island. And both guys are pretty well-established visual artists, and they're huge, both sort of impresarios, although that's too formal of a word, but very entrenched in the art and music scene in their community. And when they play live, they often just put their setup in the middle of the floor, and it's just this real distillation of energy. It's electrifying, it's chaotic, but intentional, and they just harness sound and vibration, and they don't really honor or acknowledge any separation between band and audience. It's pretty magical. Anyway, their new album is that's coming out is called Earthly Delights, and this song is called Colossus.
The band that lives up to their name, I'd say. Finally.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be the only one out of the four of us that likes that, but that to me is...
No, it's great.
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty... it's just heavy. Heavy's
sometimes
good.
You just need low end.
Yeah.
Well, you've said before, which I think is great, you don't like music that doesn't have any teeth, and that really has teeth.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that there's more than just a sharp edge to that. I think that there's definitely something soulful in there. It's dark, but there's room to explore.
So Lightning Bolt, the record's called Earthly Delights, right?
Yes.
It comes out October 13th. Stephen Thompson, you have something for us that has a nice, good jolt to it?
Yeah, and just an unbelievably fun record. We had a little bit of a debate before we went on over whether this qualifies as a fall release, because it technically came out as an import on June 23rd. You can get it on iTunes now, but the album is coming out in stores on October 6th, so I am taking that technicality and running with it, because this record is so just fun and smart.
And this is?
This is The Gossip. The album is called...
P.S.
I could just go on and on and on and just never tell you who it is.
That'd be a fun game, and then everyone can just guess.
Everybody would love that. The album is called Music for Men. I love the way it sort of blends, you know, kind of just punk and soul in this really danceable, smart, political, but ultimately really fun way. This particular song is called Dime Store Diamond. Bob isn't
feeling it as much as the rest of us.
Carrie, you love this band, right?
I do. I love this band. I think that Beth Ditto, hands down, is probably one of the best singers and probably the best performers in contemporary music.
Oh, my God.
Seriously. She is
seriously, Bob.
For sure one of the best performers.
Well, we're
hands
gonna,
down.
We're going to do her concert, right?
Yeah, we're going to do a concert. I want
to
be convinced.
Go to the concert.
I couldn't get through the record. I love the guitar player. Her voice... After like four songs, I'd had totally enough.
Wow.
I did
not have that experience.
Yeah. I think for sure that the Gossip have struggled, I think, to capture what they do live on an album. This one was produced by Rick Rubin, and that's, you know, they're obviously trying as hard as they can, I think, to...
You think they did it? You've seen them live.
I don't know if this band has ever put out an album that matches a live show.
Okay, well, we're going to do a live show.
This is it's a fun record, though.
I love how
simple it is. It's just very simple little riff, guitar and drums. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I think
it is very simple.
Yeah, this comes closest, I think, for sure.
Although I have to say the guitar player in the band, who's not really, who is out for a smoke during this song, is blistering good and has a sort of Gang of Four sound to them that really works well with her voice. You chose not to play my favorite part of whatever
band. Since you don't really like the band as much as we kind of got to make that pick.
Wasn't really your call, Bob. This is my deal here. This is Steven's deal here.
I think next time
this is the volume for your mic. Is that right, Robin? This is Steven's mic. There we go. Okay. Carrie, hi. How are you?
Good. You know what I think we should do for the next show is we pick each other's favorites and we say, you have to talk about this band. This is your favorite.
Their mics aren't on, so if there's anything that you want to say about them, this is sort of the time I've pulled them out of the conversation.
Oh, you did? Okay, good. Because Steven has just been driving me crazy for just like 4 or 5 years.
For longer than we've known him.
All right, I'll pull him back up. He said he knows and he's sorry is what he said while the mic was off. Just
4 or 5 years is quite a bit longer than we've known each other. I think you've just resented my work.
It feels more.
I resented your hair for so long.
You know, we got to have like a pool or a drinking game in terms of when in the show is my hair reference? When in the show does Robin creepily obsess over a favorite artist?
And then Bob mentions a body part.
When does Bob reference crying?
Speaking of Bob referencing something.
Yeah, yeah.
I
was listening to something, what I like to do lots of times is just put on stuff and I have no idea who they are and fall in love with it and find out, oh, they're actually really talented musicians that everybody knows. And that's what happened with this group called Aunt Fillmore, something I've completely missed the boat on. It's Glenn Cochi from Wilco, the percussionist, amazing percussionist in Wilco, and a fellow named Darren Gray, a duo that was put together by Jim O'Rourke way back when, and they've just done a record that's just a gorgeous instrumental record. There's some records that you listen to and you say, God, I wish it would, you know, go slow and then have a nice fast cut and all this stuff. I want to play you one song that's completely representative of the entire record. The entire record has this one mood, which I think is the mood to me would be described as like late Friday night if you didn't get a chance to go out, if you sort of stayed home, which happened to me a lot. So I'm gonna play.
It's not time for confession.
Can I start crying and talk about certain things?
Let's hear the song. What is this?
Let's play a song from Aunt Fillmore. The song we'll play is Master Moon. The CD's called Extended Vacation. Comes out on top of November. Robin, just scoot further in, because these are 10-minute songs,
right,
I'm just going to scoot further in.
What, a minute or two?
Yeah, it's good. Thing builds and things fall out and crazy animals will come in. There's a guy on the record, a Brazilian guy, who does these fantastic bird calls that he does in silos and then records them. I mean, it's a fun record.
I like it way more than I thought I would. I'm always a little dubious when the drummer of a band, I mean, as much as I like his work.
And you love Glenn's work, Glenn Cochi's work.
You know, I'm always a little dubious when the drummer decides to step out front. Now I'm going to have a solo up at the instrument. But this is, you know.
And for me, I'm always dubious when Bob picks something. And yet, I really like this.
I actually
like
this.
This is Steven's microphone. It's so much fun to be behind a board.
I like it, too.
Oh, good.
I agree.
Someone turns up Carrie's microphone.
blast me.
Carrie, you know what I mean.
Carrie
you
will not be louder for the rest of this discussion.
Bob's number one, I agree.
Stephen Thompson. Carrie's louder, Stephen softer. Stephen.
Okay, Dead Man's Bones.
Never heard of him.
Okay, it's an album for Halloween. Speaking of fall music previews, I've actually lamented on NPR's airwaves in the past that there aren't enough Halloween songs.
That on Fillmore could work as
absolutely.
If that was playing little speakers outside your door.
Oh, that's a great idea. I may do that.
Okay. Would you put a little sign that says Bob Boylan?
Bob Boylan. Playlist by Bob Boylan. Yeah. I've lamented in the past the fact that there aren't enough Halloween songs, and pretty much this entire record is sort of Halloween themed. The band is called Dead Man's Bones. It comes out October 6th. It features actor Ryan Gosling.
I'm there.
So it also features, because nothing is creepier than children, the Silver Lake Conservatory Children's Choir.
Wow.
It's sort of a willfully amateurish sounding record in some ways, in terms of these are not great instrumentalists, but the whole thing just has this teetering quality that goes well with songs about monsters and zombies and corpses and whatnot.
Well, I remember the title of this was fantastic.
Yeah, and so this particular song is called My Body's a Zombie for You.
Oh, I love it. Let's go for it. Ready, everybody? My body's a zombie for you!
I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't want this to go to Steven's head, but I listened to all the music on the show beforehand, and this is my favorite song out of everything. I really love this song a lot.
Okay, we're taking sides. We're in teams now.
All right. Remember, Carrie, I have their faders here.
No, it's I guess I'm a real sucker for a group sing-along like that,
and
there's something, there's love this it. Sort of almost comedic monster mash sort of tone to it, but then it's also part Arcade Fire and Polyphonic Spree. Yeah.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeroes, which we've talked about in the past. But at the end, at the end of the song,
it's actually been almost a whole show since we've talked about it.
Sorry,
are you guys obsessed with that band? They're really good, huh?
I like the record. Yeah, live, they're amazing. But right. At the end of My Body's a Zombie for You, the children all chant, Z-O-M-B-I-E, zombie. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I can't hear a children's choir without thinking of the Langley School Music Project, and it was like that with Elvis or something singing over it. But admit it, did you discover this band because you love the movie The Notebook? And then you love Ryan Gosling, and then you've been following him on a fan site.
I was waiting for the connection there.
I was waiting to be made fun of. I wasn't sure where it was going. I have to give credit. This was a Song of the Day a few days ago. I have to give credit to the Song of the Day writer who picked the song, Jessica Suarez. I absolutely love that song.
I love it, and I love The Notebook.
I just don't.
I have to agree with Robin. I mean, this might be my favorite song that I've heard today so far. So good job.
Even Steven. With the one that we're about to ask you to play?
Yeah.
This one sucks by comparison.
Steven wins.
Yes!
Yes. There's no comparison because I'm this next band is called Music Go Music, and they write these epic disco freak poems.
Oh, nice.
And disco epic.
Epic disco freak poems.
And poems. That's never been in a sentence before in the history of human history.
Well, this band has so far put out only singles, and they put out these 12-inch singles on Secretly Canadian. I've been collecting them, and they, you know, do the digital counterpart. But their album Expressions, which comes out this fall, is finally coheres all these singles they put out and adds some newer tracks. I believe they're kind of a side project of a band called Bodies of Water from Los Angeles, but this is a totally different beast. And the song is called Warm in the Shadows.
What kind of heart would
How many people are singing? I can't tell if it's doubled voice or if it's two people doing really well in that chorus part.
I believe it's one person and then joined by another. I think they do have two singers. And their songs are quite long. That's where it kind of gets into the epic part. It sounds like it should only be a 3-minute song, but it's an 8-minute song or something.
It's almost 10.
Can you just scoot real quickly? Like, go to like 8 minutes. I want to hear if there's anything different happening. If it's
this is
what
now
see what they're on.
This is 7 minutes into
okay.
it.
It's the same thing.
just checking.
How about the end? Let's see.
That's usually an indication of some sort of disorder.
Nine minutes into it.
Yeah. Even the producer has the same disorder.
Okay. But he or she had gone out to lunch at this point and came back and they were wrapping up the song.
That's a wrap.
I do like that a lot, though. Yeah. It's got this sort of Donna Summer.
Well, that bass.
You know what it is? It's funk epic.
Freak
poem is what it is.
Yeah, that's less of a freaky one. I think that they get a little more out there in some of the other songs. You can't really call something freaky when it repeats and it's really familiar and to you after the first 30 seconds.
It's got the phenomenal hand clap band stamp on it. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying they're copying from them, but it's just that same appeal, isn't it? Where you got the dance beat and the nostalgia kind of 1976 kind of.
That was fun. Yeah. Love that bass line.
Rhythm, yeah. What do you got, Bob? Oh, well, you know, I was thinking.
He sits at home by himself and does this all the time. You do your own show.
That didn't seem normal. That didn't seem. It felt
that was
just
smooth.
Just fun, all right. Lelou is a group that Robin had fallen in love with years ago. They put out a record. It's been, what, two something years?
It's been a couple years. It was the end of. 07, I think, is when we talked about that record.
Right, and they spell their name L-E, next word is L-O-U-P, and they call
wolf.
It... The wolf. Wolf.
The wolf.
In French.
In French. Thank you for that clarification.
Otherwise it would be Le Lobo.
We're so bilingual.
That's actually the only word I know.
Bilingual.
In Latin.
Their music is, I don't know, there's like banjo and electronics in the same song, and I like them for that. They feel like they tinker a lot. This new record, to me, has less of the electronic stuff, though there's a lot of organic instruments that are taken and effects are put on them. Every song seems to start about a minute and 40 in, if you know what I mean. If you've ever been to a concert, like an Indian music concert, Indian as in India, you know that the songs kind of take their real gradual. You could go out, you get some coffee, come back, and you'd still hear the beginning of the song. Well, Lelou does that, and they do that rather well. They sort of suck you into the song, really. It's almost a seduction that they do with a real quiet beginning. So I'll play a little of the quiet beginning of a song off their record. The record is called Family. The song is called Sherpa. And I bet if we play the very beginning of Sherpa, you won't even hear anything. And then I'll ask Robin to scoot it in a little bit more. And the other part I like about this, and I was thinking about this a bunch, which is when I was listening to the Ray Davies and the What was the other one that had kind of a choral, group singing? Your zombie thing. Yeah, the zombie thing. There's a whole bunch of groups. Animal Collective does this, and there's a whole bunch of groups that have this kind of group singing. It's not necessarily harmony so much as it is everybody singing the same part, and it's kind of fun. There's a power to it that you don't have to get all complicated in thirds and fifths and all that stuff to have power. Just the power of a lot of voices doing the same parts is fun. And this is Lulu, and the song is Sherpa. So the beginning of the song is actually playing now. I'm just letting you know that.
I thought I was hearing this in my brain. This is a song?
This is it. So
I thought it was a dog barking, but now I'm not so sure.
I think this is telling me to start fires.
So scoot it in a little bit, Robin.
We're about 40 seconds in.
Put out a formal request to Lulu. If you're listening, you live kind of close. Why don't you come play the desk? What do you say?
Tiny desk.
Yeah,
sure.
Totally.
Tiny desk.
Melodically, there's something. It reminded me a lot of Animal Collective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot.
The water sounds were very.
Yeah.
The water sounds, but also that sort of group singing. Yeah, there's something very nice about that. I like it a lot. This is a record they recorded in a basement in Maryland. They also went to a cabin. I think this is a trend, right? Went to a cabin in North Carolina and just turned everything off, basically, in terms of the internet and the phones and all that stuff, and recorded the record.
You know, I have a basement in Maryland, and I've never done anything interesting in it.
You guys want to record a record, Carrie?
Yeah. Yes.
Group Stephen, vocals. You can sing.
lend my pipes.
So that was the Lulu. This is a fall music preview, and Robin, you want to take us out on something?
This is an album I only learned about this past week, and it's quickly become the one I'm most excited about this fall. It's from the Black Keys and hip-hop producer Damon Dash, and it's a project they're calling Black Rock, and that's B-L-A-K-R-O-C. And basically, the Black Keys collaborated with a bunch of other hip-hop artists on this album. They mixed their sort of dirty blues kind of sound with hip-hop and rap, and from what I've heard from it so far, it's
another idea on paper that, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know so much. I was thinking that actually it's a very natural marriage, I thought, of some of the grooves, you know, blues riffs and things like that get sampled in hip-hop songs a lot. And for some reason, they have some fascination with the number 11 on this project, and I don't know why, but there are 11 artists. It was recorded in 11 days. There are 11 tracks, and they're releasing it in November.
11. Oh my God.
And another interesting thing is that they're releasing it on Black Friday, which is the Friday after Thanksgiving. And most albums come out on Tuesdays. That's another little thing they're doing with it. Some of the people who are on the record are Mos Def, RZA, Old Dirty Bastard.
I mean, how many letters in his name? Old Dirty Bastard.
Old Dirty Bastard.
No, it's more than 11. Yeah. Otherwise, you would have just blown my mind.
Ludacris is on the record. I can never have a conversation with it. But the song that we're going
to
hear...
Part of bastards. Hi, Robin.
Yeah. No, this song...
this is my fader here.
This is... The record is going to be called Black Rock, and it's out on a label they're calling Black Rock that they created themselves
Not
just
11.
For this project. And
B-L-A-C-K is five letters. Sorry.
I'm going to die in here.
You had to write that out, Bob, yeah. to make sure that Black Rock didn't have 11 letters in it.
It actually features the rapper Ol' Dirty Bast.
R.I.P. ODB.
I'm going to go back to my desk. You guys call me down here to the studio when you're ready to wrap this up.
No pun intended. And here's the rap song. Yes.
Thanks, everybody. Robin, talk to you later, man.
Okay, this is called Ain't Nothing Like You, and it features, it has Mos Def and Jim Jones.
Gary Brownstein, Stephen Thompson, Robin Hilton, thank you. I can't wait for the winter. We can do this again.
I've got to get another job.
Can I just say that I think we're all a little bit sad that Bon Iver didn't have an album that we could talk about. If there's one person that we would give our support,
you know, I'm not going to say that if we hadn't put Volcano Choir, if Bob hadn't already put Volcano Choir on the show,
yeah, we'd be talking.
We might be talking about them.
It's not out yet, is it?
It comes out the 22nd.
When's the Sunlux record coming out, Rob?
You know, I was talking with him about that. I mean, he didn't know I was talking with him about it, but I was talking with him about it. And
you were talking to your stuffed animals.
Well, it was actually outside his window. It's going to be a great record.
From what you've heard through the window? Yes,
that's what I was telling you.
Yeah. I think all of us would be willing to be married to each other if Justin Vernon was at the head of our family.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's listen to the Black Keys and...
Mos Def, Jim Jones. Ain't Nothing Like You.
And a reminder... You can hear full versions of all the songs at npr.org/allsongs. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music.
I love you.
It's All Songs Considered.
That only shows you how to sin. Like when you're getting fast money and you blow it in the wind. Where we from? Success, one in a million. We thought success is getting money in front of the building. End of the summer, we was counting up the killings. Like they killed baby boy trying to run up in the building. Now, love, I bruised one of her rose petals. She was from the concrete and came up out the cold kettle. But so gentle, but it appears like on a clear light it could thunderstorm once or more. Black keys, and I'm flying through the hood of my newest of black keys.